turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. We're going to be speaking on praying with persistence. You're looking here at Luke chapter number 18 at a parable that the Lord spoke to the disciples. I truly love the Word of God, of how He just gives us such clear and concise direction on any subject that we need. And this is probably one of my favorite passages on the subject of prayer, even though at first we will wonder if it even is speaking about prayer. But there are some wonderful principles here that the Lord was teaching His disciples that I believe will be a great blessing and asset to your prayer life tonight and as you continue to develop it. And so let's look to Luke chapter number 18. And would you please follow along with me as I begin reading in verse number 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now notice what he says in verse number 6. This is very important. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So he's drawing our attention again to verse number 4 and verse number 5. That's very important to understand this parable. And in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we'll stop right there and consider these scriptures and look at some principles that the Lord has laid out for our benefit tonight. Television network owner and millionaire Ted Turner received an award at the American Humanist Association banquet for his work on protecting the environment and promoting world peace. During his acceptance speech, he openly criticized fundamental Christianity. Listen to what he said on that night. Jesus would be sick at his stomach over the way his ideas have been twisted. I have been saved 7 or 8 times, but I gave up on it when, despite my prayers, my sister died. The more I strayed from my faith, the better I felt. Now, Mr. Turner's comments were and are very heartbreaking, aren't they? Here is a man that, first of all, does not understand salvation. He says, I've been saved 7 or 8 times, that he did not have the concept that it is once saved, always saved. And we see that his motives, possibly in coming to the Lord for what he called salvation, was simply to come to the Lord and get what he wanted. He had a tremendous burden. He had something that weighed heavily upon his heart, and that was his sister, who was suffering with a disease that was incurable and was going to take her life. And he was one that saw that he could come to God and ask God to heal his sister or intercede on behalf of her. But as she died, we see that he became bitter and refused to come to the Lord and, in a sense, strayed from the little faith that he had. You know, this man's comments, although they are heartbreaking, actually reflect the attitude of many people concerning God and the subject of prayer. I find that many people will pray about something for a while, but when the answer does not come in their timing or come when they want it to come, they will give up on it. They'll throw up their hands and say, you know what, that was a waste of time, or what is the use of praying? God's not listening. God's not hearing me. And they'll say this, if God is not going to answer my prayer, then I'm not going to pray. But let me explain something, that if that's your attitude, or if that is an attitude that you've had, you did not understand prayer in the first place. See, prayer is not a tool that we come in and bully God or demand of God what we want in our own timing, but prayer is a resource that we can come to Almighty God and understand His will for our life. And sometimes His will for our life is not always that which we want to accept or that which we desire. But sometimes there are those times where God allows us to go through difficulties, or He allows us to experience loss, or there is a turning in our life that we did not expect, but yet it is God's will. And I'll tell you that we ought not to ever come to this place where we say, God, what's the use of praying? But time and time again, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that there have been times we have done just that. We have given up on prayer. We've come up against some situation or something that was so demanding and burdensome upon us, and yet God did not answer in the way we thought He should have answered, or we didn't see His answer, that in frustration and in weariness we said, I'm just going to give up on this prayer issue. No longer am I going to come before the Lord. You know, here in this passage, we see that Jesus Christ uses a very touching and stirring parable to teach His disciples the importance of remaining persistent in prayer. Notice here, as the parable declares for us, there was a widow woman that had a need in her life, and she came before this judge day after day, moment after moment, seeking that He would intercede and work on her behalf. And yet, time and time again, He did not answer her. In fact, He rejected her until one day, He literally got worn out from hearing from this woman. And He says, okay, I'll give you what you want just to get you out of my presence. Can we look at this and say how sad this is, that this lady is day after day looking for someone to help her and constantly coming up against rejection? And you understand that is not where the parable is going. Where it is focusing on is this, is that she persisted. It was day after day that she came and she did not take no for an answer. And so tonight I would like us to examine this parable. Because just like these disciples, we too need the teaching on persistent prayer. I want us to look at a couple things very quickly this evening. First of all, would you notice the cry of the widow? The cry of the widow. In verse number 3, she expressed or has a demand here. It says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. Now, we are not told what the problem or the burden of this woman was, but we see that she had a grievance that was heavy upon her heart. Someone had done her wrong, or someone was putting pressure upon her, that she looked at them as her adversary. Notice that in every prayer, there is a request or there is a demand. That is the heart and nature of prayer. That is why we pray, that when we come before the Lord, we have something upon our heart that has burdened us and stirred us enough to say that I can't do it on my own, but I need to use the resource of prayer and come before God and enlist His help. And this is where the lady was at, that she saw that there was nobody else, there was no family, there was no friends, there was nobody else but this judge that could answer her demands. So she had this demand, this grievance that was on her heart. But also notice there in verse number 3 that she had some disadvantages. The Bible says that she was a widow. This poor widow woman had several things working against her when she came into the courtroom of this judge. See, we understand that in these days, women were not allowed to speak in the court. That she was not able to just stroll up before this judge and say, Judge, would you hear my case? Would you listen to my plea? But in a sense, she needed someone to stand in her place and intercede on her behalf. She had no husband to speak for her. Generally, if there was something that was needed to be done, that the husband would come into the courtroom or come to the gate, and he would stand there and intercede on behalf of the family. But she did not have a husband. We would see also that she probably did not have sons that could intercede on her behalf. And she was also part of a section of society that in these days were often looked down upon. The Bible indicates that she was a poor widow woman. And often she would be taken advantage of, that she would be oppressed, she would be somebody that those in prominence and those in authority would not even want to bother with. You know, it reminded me of the widow woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4, who came to Elisha and said that the creditors are after my sons and they're going to take them unless I can pay them. They were merciless. They were coming after her. She had nowhere to turn to, but she turned to the man of God and said, "You're going to have to do something to help me." Why? Because she was at a disadvantage. She was not able to help herself. We also see that not only was there a demand and a disadvantage, but there was her determination. Look in verse number 5. It says, "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And notice that phrase there, that continual coming. This phrase has an idea that she would beg the judge every single day and everywhere she could. Could you imagine being this judge, that he would come in the morning, see that widow woman standing there waiting to get in? As he clocked out, probably when he went to the market to get the fruits and meats and all the things he needed, there was that widow woman saying, "Judge, I need you to plead for my cause." I mean, she was bugging him. If she knew where he lived, she would have had security posted around the perimeter just to keep this woman away from her, because it says it was continual. I mean, this woman was determined. This judge is not going to get away with not listening to my need. But also we see the determination came because of her desperation. Notice here in verse number 7, that the Lord likens it here. He says, "which cried day and night unto him." That crying day and night, I'm reminded of Psalm 88 in verse number 1, of that psalmist there who was in deep despair in the pits of life, suffering and crying out to God. He says, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee." And as you read those psalms, do you read any time where there was a man or a woman crying day and night? It was because they were in desperate straits. They had nowhere else to turn. They didn't know what to do. And their need was heavy upon them. And they cried constantly before those who could help. This is the case of the cry of the widow woman. She was in desperate straits. You know, as we read this parable, let's make some application now. This widow woman represents you and I. See, there are times in our life when we are burdened with the cares of life, the worries, the fears, the troubles, the heartache, the things that begin to weigh us down, that we come to the Lord just like this widow woman with a demand. With a request of him, "Lord, I need you to answer this prayer." We feel disadvantaged that there is nobody to help. We look and maybe our family is unable or our church is unable to carry the load. There's no answers there. We know that it's only going to come through the Lord, that there's no other avenue. And we feel isolated and put apart, that we're oppressed and looked down upon. So we get determined and we have some desperation in our cry because of these times that are burdensome upon our life. You know, it is during these gloomy times of our life that we can often be tempted to say, "What is the use of praying? Why should I even continue to pray to God? He doesn't listen. He doesn't care. He's not answering in my situation." Has anybody been there in their life? Yes, you have. I'll answer for you. We've all been there where we've gotten to that. We know it's wrong. That's why we don't want to admit it. But we've all gotten there saying, "God, you're just not listening. If you're not going to listen, then I'm not going to talk." And we make threats against Almighty God. You know, the reason is because we come to a place that is disheartening and hard upon us. Again, if there is one thing we can learn from this widow woman, it is that persistence in prayer pays off in the end, doesn't it? Because we see here that the judge, no matter what his reasons were, he still answered her requests. And so let me encourage you tonight. Keep praying. Despite the obstacles that come before you, despite all the signs in your life that say that God is not going to answer you, just keep on praying. Do not give up. And brother, I'll tell you, there's going to be requests in our life that we're going to have to be persistent in. Some of you tonight are praying for the souls of loved ones that are lost. And for year after year, day after day, you're praying for them. And it seems like as the more that you pray, the harder they get to the gospel. Let me say this, just keep on praying. It will pay off in the end. Some of you are praying for needs in your life that you see as unanswerable, that nothing can happen, or somebody in their life that they would turn their heart back to God, and you're looking and saying, it would never get there. Don't stop praying. Learn from this widow woman. She persisted. Why? Because she wanted an answer. How badly do you want answers to your prayers? Do you really want them, or are you just throwing up vain words and repetition because you know that that's the right thing to do? If that's your course, you'll quit before you even get started. We need to be persistent in prayer. Let us also look here at the coldness of the judge. There's a couple things about this judge that are interesting to note. First of all, we see in verse number 2 that he was corrupt. As if we didn't already notice this off the bat. This is a corrupt judge. If I was in those days and I saw this taking place, it's one of those guys you'd just like to punch in the nose. What are you doing treating that lady this way? Why are you being so difficult with him? You're the judge. You're supposed to be a public servant. I mean, this guy would have been a frustrating. Can you get a picture of this judge in your mind? An arrogant, cocky, power-controlled man? I mean, he was corrupt to the core. The Bible says there that he feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care what God's law said. He didn't care what man said. All this man was caring about was this, himself. How can I lift myself up in the courts? How can I get more success, prominence, money? What can I do that will make me look good? I'll tell you, when we're in positions of judgment and we have that attitude, we're always going to turn out corrupt because we're looking for our needs and not for the needs of those that we have to judge in a proper way. You know, we see here that he was a wicked judge. Listen to what Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 7 says. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. This judge would have known the law of God. He would have known what God had put upon him as being in that position. But I'll tell you this, man probably hated this woman. She was bugging him continually. There was that hatred in his heart. He sinned against her. He would not avenge her. He did not show the second commandment of loving thy neighbor with all thy heart. Now, this man was a wicked man. But I think we can understand a little bit of why this judge did what he did. I was doing some research here and looking at the judicial system in those days. It's interesting to note that the courtroom was not in a fine building. It was, in fact, in a tent that moved from place to place. These judges would travel around the cities, the villages, and on certain days or certain times, they would be there to judge the people. The judge would set the agenda, and he would sit in the midst of that tent as if he were royalty. And there would be those that would come around. He would be surrounded by his assistants that would handle and set everything up as bringing people before him. Folks could watch from the outside, but only those that he accepted could come into the courtroom so that he could hear their faces. You know, one of the things that was interesting is that usually the way that you got before the judge is by bribing the assistants to get your case before him. So what do you think this judge was after? I'm sure he would have listened to this widow woman's case if she would have slipped him a $100 bill. If she would have said, well, I'll make it worth your while. He was interested in what he could get from it, and that is what made him corrupt and wicked to the core. But we see also that he was callous. In verse number 4, notice there it says, and he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, he says, okay, finally, I'll avenge her. But notice there, he would not for a while. He hardened his heart. He says, I'm not going to listen to her. I don't care what this widow woman's problem. I'm not going to heed to it. And he did not listen to her case, even though he knew that she had a problem, even though he knew that she was hurting and had a burden upon her. He was callous towards this woman. But also, we see that he was condescending. In verse number 4, he says, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You know what I find here as I read these verses is that in spite of his spiritual condition, and in the fact that he did not care for this woman, we see that he ended up helping her at the end. That's interesting. Why did he help her? Why did he break down and say, okay, I'll listen to you and I will avenge your adversaries? Well, the answer really lies in verse number 5. There's two words here I want you to pay attention to. He says in verse number 5 that this widow troubleth me. And then at the end of verse number 5, she weary me. These are some interesting words. I looked these up. The word troubleth means to reach forth and beat another or cause trouble to. So you know what this widow woman was doing? Is that every day she would stand before his tent, or every time she would see him out in the market or out in the street, when he saw her, it was like she was beating him with a bat. It was hurting him. It was hurting his reputation. It was hurting his position in the community. And then this word weary means to beat down, to blacken the eye. Now, we know that she was not literally beating up on this guy, but he was getting a black eye in the community. Guarantee this, that there was probably somebody in the court that said, hey, Judge, when are you just going to give in and listen to this woman? Why don't you just deal with it? Stop being a meanie. Stop being a bully. And he didn't like that because why? It didn't lift him up in prestige. Well, I'm not that kind of judge. So he finally came to the point that, fine, I'll be a merciful, kind, loving judge. Woman, why don't you come in here and I will avenge you. Do you see that picture tonight? This is where he's at. So he didn't do it for her. He did it for himself. Fine, I'll answer your request because you trouble and weary me. So here's the lesson that we can learn from this judge. And that is simply this. We may not get the answer we want immediately. But keep asking and God will answer in his time. What it's simply saying is this, is brethren, be persistent in prayer. I praise God that he's not a corrupt judge. But notice what he said. I told you in that verse number 6 that here's the key. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So he's focusing us on his words, not on his attitude or his action. It's on what he said. So the key is this, is that if we continually come before God, that one day God will say, okay, I will answer thee. Listen to what the psalmist says, Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. Listen now, the psalmist is coming before the Lord. He's saying, Lord, listen to me. Turn your ear. Hear me. Attend to me. I'm talking, Lord. I need you to listen. And we say, well, that's a disrespectful way to come to God. Well, that's not what it's teaching. It's saying that he was persistent. Lord, you need to hear. In Psalm 61 and verse number 1, hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What the psalmist is saying here is, Lord, I will continue to pray. Doesn't matter how far away I get, to the end of the earth, you're still going to hear me cry out to you. Now, that's some persistence, isn't it? Let me ask you, brethren, is that how you pray? Is that how you come before the throne of God, where you're persistent that, Lord, I need you to hear? I need you to listen? Lord, I'm going to cry. It doesn't matter what happens in my circumstance or in my life. If I'm at the end of the earth, then I'm still going to call upon you. See, brethren, if you're going to receive answers to your prayers, then it's going to take some consistent and persistent action. We ought not to give up. I feel that sometimes we give up on prayer too early, just when God is about to move. Listen to what George Mueller said. He was a great prayer warrior. He says, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. And you read these stories and the accounts of this man's prayer life of how he persisted in prayer and he saw some miraculous things that God did in his life and in his ministry. He said, why? It's accredited to this. I persisted. I got before God time and time and time again until he answered. But now I want us to kind of turn our attention to this. I want us to see the contrast with our Heavenly Father. See, here Jesus turns from the characters of this parable and directs his disciples' attention to their Father in heaven. Notice what he says in verses 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See, what Jesus Christ is telling us is that God, first of all, is nothing like this unjust judge, but that he does delight in answering the prayers of his people. Listen to this scripture in Proverbs 15, verse number 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Do you understand that God is not turned off or upset in any way when you come before his throne constantly? That we got to get this attitude out of our mind. Well, I'm just bothering God. I cannot stand it when Christians say, well, I just don't want to bother God. He has a lot going on that he doesn't need to hear what I have to say. You know, that's a lie of the devil. The devil's just tricking you and deceiving you, saying, well, God's too busy, or there's a lot of other people praying right now, and there's bigger things in your in life than what you have to request of him. No, God says, hey, the sacrifices of the wicked, they're an abomination. That we can sacrifice in prayers and just utter up prayers in vain repetition. But he says the true prayer of a righteous man, he delights in. He wants to hear from you. That's our Father. See, notice some things that Jesus describes about your Heavenly Father tonight. First of all, he describes that he hears his people. In verse number 7, he says, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. He hears us. We should never fear that God the Father is not hearing us, because his ear is always open to the cry of his children. Listen to these scriptures, Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Did you hear what God just said there? He said, before you even ask, I'm ready to answer. But while you talk, I will hear. And then the verse that we studied a little bit on Wednesday night, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Then the Gospel of John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And there are several other scriptures we can mention tonight where God says, I will hear. If you're a child of God tonight, God listens to your prayers. Now, he may not answer it the way you want, and he may have to rebuke you if you don't come in the right heart, but he listens. And he says, I'm always going to hear my child. But then also Christ brings out this. He says, God the Father honors their persistence. Notice in verse number 7, though he bear long with them. See, sometimes God answers prayer immediately, and there are other times God makes us wait a while. But the key to it all is this, is not giving up. That's what he's focusing in on. He says, don't give up. See, persistent praying demonstrates the depth of our burden. Have you found this to be true? That if you are really burdened over something, or for someone, you'll pray more for them. And for those things that really are a burden upon our hearts and lives, we tend to maybe pray for once or twice. See, this is what he wants, is that we would get persistent over some things, that we'd be burdened over some things, that it would push us to praying persistently. See, a genuine burden keeps you before God continually. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 1. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So God wants us to have some burdens that will keep us before his throne constantly. See, Christian, don't ever get to this point and say, well, I just want to arrive at some place in my life where I have no burdens, where I have no trials, I have no problems, I have nothing that frustrates you, me. You know what you're asking for? It's to just end your conversation with God Almighty. It's in the times of trials, it's in the times of difficulties, it's in the times where we're carrying loads that we want to come to God, and God wants us to come to him so that he can lift our burdens and show his display of power. Let me remind you of this, that God isn't just making you wait. See, we get frustrated in that. A lot of times we don't like to wait. We're impatient people. Well, let's kind of give you something else to think about. God is not just making you wait, but what he's actually doing is he is preparing you to see and to receive his answer. And some of us, we need a lot of time to get to that place where we'll submit to actually what God tells us his answer is. See, it is not persistence in this. We pray, God answers, and we say, God, I don't like that answer. I'm going to continue to pray until you give me what I want. That is not persistent praying. But persistent praying is this, is Lord, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray until you change me inside out so that when your answer comes, I'll say, that's right, Lord, I will follow. See, that's the way we ought to look at it. See, God honors their persistence, but also he handles their petitions. Look there in verse number 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I want you to underline, look at that word there, speedily. See, our Father does not turn a deaf ear to our prayers, but he begins to work on them speedily. You say, well, you know, why is it that God makes us wait when he says that he's working on it in a quick manner? Well, here's something, and understand this. This is the truth about prayer. Real prayer is the evidence of God's future answer. Real prayer always begins with God. So when we are praying scripturally, and we are praying the way the Lord has taught us, we are already looking to the future that God is going to answer. So the time between that is going to be, in God's eyes, very quick. In ours, it may be slow. But if God has already said, okay, here's your prayer request, 2 months down the road, I'm going to answer, that's a speedy answer, isn't it? Just because we have to wait 2 months to actually see it fulfilled doesn't mean that God delayed in his answer. You following me tonight on that? Because that's a cool thing when you think about it. God says, okay, yeah, I'll give that to you, but maybe 2 years from now. Lord, I have to wait 2 years for you. I'm preparing you so that when that year comes up, you can receive it. Now, here's another thing I just wrote down. I thought this was interesting. And it's something just to kind of give you to meditate and think about throughout the week. Here's how prayer works. The Holy Spirit of God burdens our heart with a need. We give that need to God the Father in prayer, and God the Father has already been working on the answer for us. Now, a couple of scriptures that I think about when I say that statement is this. In Romans chapter number 8, we're reminded of what the Apostle Paul said there, some of our favorite verses that we go to, of speaking about how the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Bible says this in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, there are times in our lives the Spirit of God will burden us with something in our life. Think about this. These men tonight that have been called to preach, There was a time in their lives, there was a time in my life where God burdened me about the need to respond to the call to preach His Word. What it did is it, first of all, scared me to death. So what's that? That's a burden upon me. Lord, do you really want me in the ministry? So what did it do? It drove me to my knees. I was asking the Lord and seeking the Lord's will. Well, the Spirit there has already brought that to the Lord, and the Lord already had the answer. I went through a period of time, I was seeking the Lord's will, but God's will never changed for me. I just had to get to a point where I saw it and I received it. But all along, the Spirit knew, because He had searched the heart, and He knew what the will of God was for my life. Brother, I'll tell you, there are times through the preaching of God's Word, through your personal reading, that God is going to burden your heart. And that is the Spirit of God that lays it upon you, that drives you to prayer so that you will find the answer that God wants you to see. I thought of this also a great illustration is in Matthew chapter 14, where the disciples are out on the ship when the storm comes. They're being tossed to and fro. The Lord comes down and says, "Be not afraid, it is I." And He's walking there, and this is the account where Peter says, "Lord, can I come and walk out on the water with you?" He comes out and he begins walking. You know the story of how he sees the boisterous waves. He begins to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." There's his prayer. Now think about this. What was Jesus doing in the process of him sinking? Jesus was walking closer to Peter. So when Peter finally cried out, that's when Jesus stretched out his hand and lifted him up. Now, did Jesus know way back here that Peter was going to sink? Yeah, he did. Peter didn't know that, but he got into a situation where he had to call upon the Lord. But think about this. Jesus Christ was already responding to his need before he prayed. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? You say, well, I don't know what tomorrow holds. It may hold a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartache. But I'll tell you this, God is already working on your behalf to meet your need. And when it comes, what you ought to look for is for God's answer. All right, Lord, you brought this into my life. Where is your peace? Where is your comfort? Where is your strength? Where is your provision for now? And I'll tell you this, that if we go to Him in prayer, the answer will be speedily. He handles our petition. The great confidence that we have in prayer, is it not? I want to read a story for you. It illustrates the value of persistence in prayer. It's taken from a book entitled Why Christians Sin. Let me just read this for you. It goes like this. On May the 7th, after returning from the war, Roger Simmons was hitchhiking on his way home. His heavy suitcase made him tired, and he was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. Flashing the hitchhiking sign to an oncoming car, he lost hope when he saw that it was a black new Cadillac. But to his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger opened the door, and he ran toward the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and thanked the well-dressed man for stopping. The driver said, "Are you going home for keeps?" "Sure am," Roger replied. "Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago." "Says I'm not going that far, but close enough." He asked the question, "Do you live in Chicago?" "Yes, I have a business there. My name is Hanover." After talking about many things, Roger, who was a Christian, felt an obligation to witness to this successful businessman about Christ. But after he kept putting it off, he realized that he was only about 30 minutes away from his home. And so he said, "It's going to be now or never." So Roger cleared his throat and said, "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation. And ultimately, he asked Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was going to be ejected from the car, but instead, the businessman bowed his head and received Christ. After he is done praying, he says, "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me." 5 years went by. Roger married, had a 2-year-old boy, and a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found a small white business card that Mr. Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he decided to look up Mr. Hanover and his enterprise. He went to the building, and the receptionist there told him that it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but that he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into an office and found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hand and said, "You knew my husband?" Roger told how her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. She said, "Could you tell me when that was?" He said, "Certainly. It was May the 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army." She said, "Was there anything special about that day?" Roger hesitated. Should he mention witnessing to her husband or not? Then he brought up the courage and said, "Well, Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel to your husband." He pulled over to the side of the road, whipped against the steering wheel, and gave his life to Christ. Sobs shook her body. She quickly gained control and said, "I prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him." Roger asked her this, "Where is your husband now?" She said, "He is dead. He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car that night. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise." And as she wept, she added, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word." What are we to do with this message tonight, brethren? Now, I believe the answer can be summed up in three simple challenges. Number one, be committed to prayer. Jesus said, we ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. See, God does not want intermissions in our prayer life. This word, without ceasing, refers to a nagging cough or a tickle in the back of the throat that causes a cough to happen every time. See, Jesus is telling us, brethren, he says, I want you to be ready. I want you to be on guard. I want you to be watchful. He says, I want you to be in an attitude of prayer at all times. I want you to see prayer as more than just an obligation, but as a resource and a wonderful benefit. I believe also we need to understand this, not only be committed in prayer, but we need to be constant in prayer. Jesus said, not to faint. Not to faint. There are those that we cannot lose heart over, we cannot become slothful for, and we cannot grow weary over. There are things that we need to continue to pray for, and although it may take years, God will always answer. See, what Jesus was saying is this, is don't give up on praying, don't become slothful. God will move in His time. As Galatians 6 verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Be committed to prayer. Be consistent in prayer. But then also, be comforted by prayer. Let me draw your attention to verse number 8 again. The Bible says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus asked a very important question of you and I. He says, when I return to earth, will I find people of faith? Will I find you faithfully persisting in prayer over things that really matter? When I come back one day, if I were to step out into the clouds, would I find believers in this church praying for the souls of lost people? Will I find parents praying for their children? Will I find church members praying for their church? Will I find those that have a burden for the world and for world evangelism? Will I find them praying? Will I find people praying according to my word? You know, really, the answer to that question depends upon you and I. Because we kill and live in a day in which Christ can come back at any moment. We may be faithful or we may be slothful. We may be persistent or we may just decide to grow weary and say, God, I just can't go on in prayer anymore. Now, Jesus said, that the comfort is here. He says it lies in what Jesus said and not in what we do. He says, when the Son of Man cometh. You understand the comfort of prayer is this, is that Jesus will come again. But he encourages us to be persistent in prayer. See, God's people may not always do what they are supposed to do, but the one thing we can count on is God keeping his every promise. And that goes for the subject of prayer. God says, if you persist in prayer, I will answer you. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, F.B. Myers was asked to address a group of passengers on the subject of answered prayer. An agnostic man was present in the service that day, and he listened to the message, and someone asked him afterwards, what did you think of the sermon? To which he replied, I didn't believe a word of it. Later on that afternoon, the agnostic was on his way to another service just to hear, as he put it, what the babbler had to say. He put two oranges in his pocket, and as he walked toward the meeting place, he passed an elderly woman who was sitting in her chair fast asleep. In the spirit of fun, the man slipped those two oranges into her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady enjoying one of those oranges. He remarked, you seem to be enjoying that orange. To which she replied, yes, sir, my father is very good to me. Your father? Surely your father cannot be alive today. She said, well, yes, he is. He is very much alive. And then she went on to explain and tell this man how she had been seasick for many days. And she was asking God to somehow send her an orange to help the ease of her sickness. She said, I suppose I fell asleep while praying. However, when I woke up, I found that he had not only sent me one orange, but two. To this response, the agnostic was speechless. Brethren, I just read that story to say this. Keep on praying. The answer is on its way.